summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia. Welcome in to Bud Light Baseball Brunch live on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, powered by Green Legion Radio. Beautiful Sunday morning here in the Delaware Valley, and it looks like it's beautiful out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, too, for your fighting Phils to go to break out the brooms against those Pittsburgh Pirates this afternoon. Again, this is 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Download that iHeartRadio app. You can listen to us anywhere crystal clear worldwide. I am Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio, and I'm not sitting alongside my co-host this week, but we will be back at Xfinity Live next week for the first time in 2 months, but it feels like for the first time in 2 years. But my co-host, Greg Murphy. What's up, Murph? How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Philly's playing some good baseball out here in Pittsburgh, looking for a four-game sweep this afternoon. They've got Aaron Nola on the hill. What more can we ask for right now, right? As they sit six games above 500, it's been a good week. It's been a good week. It didn't start all that well against the Chicago Cubs, but ever since then, it's been pretty good. So hopefully they can keep it going today and then get down to Atlanta, enjoy a day off, and keep playing well against their division rivals as well.
Yeah, I was looking at the schedule this morning, and I'm sitting there like, I know we had the four-game set against the Nationals next weekend, and I'm like, man, it's only a two-game stop in Atlanta. And plus, it looks like with the pitching matchups, Kyle Gibson went out on bereavement leave, on the bereavement list yesterday. And it looks like, so I don't know what the situation is, who's looking to start on Tuesday in Atlanta, because it looks like Zach Wheeler's lining up for Wednesday.
Yeah, Zach Wheeler will pitch Wednesday. It'll be a bullpen game on Tuesday to fill in for Kyle. His grandmother passed away. She had been sick. He had missed a week, or excuse me, a day last week, if you remember, in order to spend some time with her, and she passed. So our condolences certainly with the Gibson family as he takes care of that. The Phils will go with a bullpen game on the first day in Atlanta.
No doubt. And speaking of condolences, I'd like to reach out to my brother, Pat Howells. His brother-in-law passed away yesterday. And, Pat, love you, brother. We're here for you. If you need anything at all, I know you'll be listening to the show either right now or later on. Just want to let you know that we're here for you, the whole Sack family and the Bud Light Baseball Brunch family. So, just want to let that be known. Also, at the same time, we want to plug our good friends over at State Farm. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right, good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Bavuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Bavuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. Again, that's 856-740-5012, or you can stop in and see Dave in Williamstown, New Jersey. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. Before we go out of the box, we're going to give away a couple pairs of tickets. I can only do so much here. But again, it's two tickets for Phillies Nationals. I did this on last week's show when we were at the Ludlam Bar and Grill. I'm going to do it again this week because actually I didn't know this last week until I was looking at the tickets this morning to purchase. Friday, August 5th at 7:05 p.m., Dan Baker 50th anniversary salute that night, and nobody in the game of baseball deserves that salute more than Dan Baker. What a wonderful man he is. I know, Murph, you've dealt with him extensively over the years. Why don't you talk a little bit about Dave before we go ahead and we put out how you're going to win the tickets.
Yeah, well, I'd love to. You know, you talk about an icon in the Philadelphia sports landscape. Dan Baker, the longtime PA voice for the Philadelphia Eagles and the even longer time voice for the PA at Citizens Bank and Veterans Stadium for the Phillies, 50 years. It's hard to believe. We have two guys in the city, Lou Nolan being the other voice over there at the Wells Fargo Center with 50-plus years. It's an amazing accomplishment. You will not find a better person than Dan Baker on the planet. I'm thrilled that he's getting the recognition that he deserves after his long tenure. I first met Dan Baker when I graduated college in 1993, and he was at that point I forget what his title was, but the president of the Philadelphia Big Five, and he was doing games on television for the Big Five as well. That was back when the Big Five was in its round robin heyday, and I first met him then, and he was gracious then, and he's been gracious ever since. So, well deserved. It's going to be a great night, and I'm looking forward to it.
And it can't be any better, too. Dan Baker, 50 years. Lou Nolan with the Flyers, 50 years. Two great guys. I know they're friends, so it's going to be great. Get down to the ballpark, and you get to honor a great man and a great professional at what he does. And for those of you that are following us on StreamYard, we're going to talk about this in our second segment for a little bit as well. We haven't taken advantage enough of Murph being on the road this year as far as being able to talk about the ballparks that he is in. And if you're looking right now on our StreamYard feed, it's unbelievable. You got to go to the Green Legion YouTube channel, and you got to go to the Green Legion Facebook live that we have going on, or at Green Legion on Twitter. And that's another way for you to be able to win the tickets this week. But the unbelievable view that Murph is providing us right now in PNC Park in Pittsburgh. We're going to talk more about that later on. But let's go ahead. Let's get into it right now. How are we going to win these tickets? Well, I just told you how to get involved with it. But best movie character since the turn of the millennium, since in the 21st century. I'm giving you 22 years of movies here. Murph has a top five. He's going to give us one of them right now. What do you got, Murph?
I'll tell you what, another really difficult task to try and figure out just five of the great characters over the last, 22 years. But I did. I came up with five. So I'm going to give you one. This is not my top one. In fact, I have never seen this movie. But I asked around today when I was prepping for this list, and I had like three or four different people tell me this character. So, and I've heard that his performance was legendary in this. It's just not my kind of movie. I never saw Heath Ledger in Batman.
Oh, man, you're taking mine.
Well, I'm telling you, you ask anybody, and that's one of the first ones that pop. So here I've never seen it. And you know what? I should go because I love great acting. So I should go and watch it just to watch Heath Ledger. But that's the one that's on my list. It's not my number one, but it's on my list. Heath Ledger's Batman. So there you go.
Listen, I can't really. I was not expecting that of you because I know that you're not into superheroes. Superhero movies. So, I'm kind of caught off guard by that one for sure. But I'm just going to stick with it. That way we just give everybody else the bevy of options. I don't know about Sam, if she has one that she wants to go ahead and get involved with. And Slash doesn't have a microphone. I'm taking his microphone, but if he has one, if he wants to get it over to me. It's unbelievable. The performance that he did for those of us that are Batman fans and you look back like over the years, Jack Nicholson, when he did it back in the 80s, with Michael Keaton as Batman. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different kind of Joker that Heath Ledger breaks out. And he was so invested in it mentally, emotionally, that it's probably the reason why he wound up taking his life, because of how invested he was into that character. It's just, it's encompassing.
Who played Batman in that movie?
Oh, Christian Bale. Christian Bale.
Okay.
Yeah. And Christian Bale, great Batman. I mean, he's probably a little over top with the voice that he liked to do. Do I look like a cop? You know, like he had the really like rough voice. Christian Bale was a great Batman. But Heath Ledger. And the sad part is the third installment of that trilogy, The Dark Knight Rises, it probably would have been, it was a good movie. It really was. And it was a really good ending for that trilogy. But to think of how things would have been a little bit different if you would have had Heath Ledger as Joker for another Batman, it would have been phenomenal. So, people were not lying to you. It's one of the best characters for sure over the last 22 years. Awesome stuff. All right. So let's go ahead. Let's talk some Phillies baseball because like you said, it was a rough start since our last show last Saturday at the Ludlam Bar and Grill. The Phillies have gone 5-3, but those two games after we did our show, they lost to the Chicago Cubs and they got swept in the 3-game set right after the All-Star break. Things weren't looking good for the Phillies at that time, but then they take 2 of 3 against the Atlanta Braves, which is what you were saying. Like, let's go ahead and let's get that taken care of. And then 3 of 4 against the Pirates, which they've taken the first three and now they're looking to break out the brooms today against the Pirates in PNC Park. They're one game up on the St. Louis Cardinals for that third and final wild card spot, but Murph, they're steadily creeping up right now. now on the San Diego Padres. They're a game and a half behind them, and they're putting themselves in prime position to really make a splash here getting into the postseason as the team tends to get a little bit healthier here.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, look, obviously lots can happen. We've seen it over the last couple of years. But I think if you're a Phillies fan, you got to feel pretty good about the way this team is trending. As you mentioned, guys are getting healthy. We might see Gene Segura in Atlanta as early as Tuesday, perhaps. So, you know, and then obviously Bryce coming back, hopefully by September 1st. They're in a good spot right now. They really are. There's really only two teams at this moment. Now again, someone could go on a 15 game winning streak, the Giants or start with the Marlins, someone like that and put themselves back into it. But right now it's really, you know, St. Louis and San Diego and the Phillies battling for two of those final three, you know, or two of the three teams battling for two spots. And the Phillies really seem to be out of those teams playing the best baseball right now. So, you know, the trade deadline is here over the next day and a half. Teams are going to still be adding, so the Cardinals could do something. Obviously, the Padres have been rumored to making a big splash with Juan Soto. So we'll wait and see. But I think you have to feel pretty good about where the Phillies sit right now.
Speaking of the trade deadline, it's Tuesday at 6 p.m. They've given them a few extra days. Normally, it's the last year was the 30th. Most years, it's been the 31st of July. But now they, with everything that happened at the beginning of the season and having to be pushed back a week, and you know we're going another week into October with the regular season, they've extended it to August 2nd at 6 p.m. I think we all know at this point what the needs are. I look at it, and I know, like, I'm kind of deviating from what I've been typing up here on the run sheet, but I think the way Sir Anthony Dominguez, I know he, it looked like he was running out of gas there a little bit right before the All-Star break, but man, he's been throwing nothing but gas. He went back-to-back nights the other night. I was a little surprised by that. I look at the bullpen is really coming together. Connor Brogdon has pitched really well. Brad Hand, Alvarado, since he's come back from AAA, the one guy that you can kind of look at right now in the bullpen, you go, oh, I don't know when he does come in, is Jarris Familia. And when Coonrod comes back, it looks like he's going to jump into that spot. And I don't know what's going to happen with Familia. I know Rob Thomson was speaking positively about him the other day, but what else are you going to do? I mean, you're going to have to take your guys back until he's no longer on the roster. But starting pitcher, for sure. And Bailey Falter, he acquitted himself pretty well on Friday night. Six innings pitched, longest of his career. But I don't think you can take yourself that seriously if Bailey Falter is going to be your number five starter moving forward through the rest of the season if you're looking to make that playoff push. I think that and center field, which has not performed well for the Phillies yet this season, those are two spots that Dave Dombrowski really has to you know, pigeonhole. Like these are spots that I have to make sure that I take care of before Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Yeah, I don't know if I would agree with your last statement there that they haven't played well in center field. I'd have to go back and look at the combined numbers between Vierling and Odubel and, who am I missing?
Mickey Moniak.
I'd have to go back, but I think Matt Vierling has certainly acquitted himself quite well. You know, remember Dave Dombrowski earlier this season was talking about Odubel Herrera, but I think it applies for just center field in general, for this team. You can't have a superstar at every single position.
That's correct.
Right?
No, I agree.
You're going to have guys that are solid, average, you know, whatever word you want to use, contributors. And that's what the Phillies have in center field right now. Can they upgrade that position at the trade deadline in hopes of boosting? Yeah, maybe. And that would be great. And that's what I think Dave Dombrowski is looking at. But if you look at it big picture, you know, I think what they have gotten out of center field, especially since Matt has started to play more often, you know, has been pretty good contribution. So, and Dave also said he was very frank about the idea of adding another starter, and they're obviously pursuing that. Bailey Falter did pitch really well the other day, but I would agree with you. Bailey is probably at this point in his career depth for a team that's heading to the postseason, as opposed to a guy that you run out there every 5 days in hopes of getting a win. And that's, it sounded like when Dave spoke the last time that's what they were thinking. So you have to believe that's where they're working right now, those two spots. I believe they'll get something done, whether it be both positions or maybe they added bullpen arm as well. Something is going to happen over the next couple of days. This team is not going to stand pat. Will it be a major splash? Probably not.
I agree.
I think Dave kind of was, you know, pretty honest about that. Now, if something presents itself that they just simply can't pass up, you know, they might go for it. But I think adding depth, you know, getting that guy that might slot in as a four or five in the rotation would be very helpful. And we'll see what happens over the next 24 to, 48 hours, I guess, at this point, before it's all said and done. But you can bet the Phillies are going to do whatever they can to try and improve this team.
Yesterday I was a bit miffed at Edmundo Sosa with that move. They have a lot of up the middle depth in their in the middle infield. They optioned Johan Camargo. They put him down in AAA, which I'm confused about. I mean, Sosa is primarily a shortstop. Camargo can play all four positions on the diamond. And then you're just about to get Segura back. Nick Maton is tearing the cover off the ball down in AAA. Bryson Stott has acquitted himself really well over the last couple months playing here. Potentially could become the full-time shortstop when Segura comes back and takes over second base, because he's playing better than Didi is. I know Didi made a hell of a play last night in that 10th inning, and he's played really well defensively, but the pop isn't quite there like it used to be with Didi. So Bryson's going to get some plenty of playing time over there, and then you have Yair Munoz as well. I understand depth is important, but Camargo to me is a more valuable asset because he can play multiple positions. I don't know much about Sosa.
Sosa can too. He's a plus defender at short, second, third.
He can play third.
Probably can play first. Yeah. Oh yeah. He can play third for sure. And is a plus. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe Johan Camargo is also a plus defender at those positions. And you know, he obviously, early in the season was swinging the bat really well. He's struggled offensively of late. They believe that Sosa is an upgrade defensively over all of the guys that you just mentioned, and they're going to use him as such, a utility guy, a late inning defensive replacement. I've seen Sosa play, you know, numerous times, and he is pretty special out there defensively. Now, he's not going to offer you a whole lot offensively. You know, he's a similar kind
of. He's batting 189 is what I saw so far this year.
Yeah, don't hang your hat on the offensive side of it, but they believe that shoring up the defense, especially late in games and, you know, occasional spot starts, that Sosa's a plus. And, you know, you give up a guy like Jojo Romero, who is possibly going to end up being a decent reliever in Major League Baseball. But, you know, the Phillies all of a sudden have some depth in that area. So, you know, to me, they look at it as an opportunity to improve this defense over the next 2 months. And the price was Jojo Romero, and for them, it made sense. And, so, you know, it remains to be seen how they utilize him, but, if he makes a couple big plays down the stretch defensively, probably worth it, right?
Yeah, I'm reading the article. I saw that he has, plus speed too.
He's a good base runner as well.
Yeah,
for sure.
So that can help out too, because they don't have much speed off the bench. I don't know how he is as a base dealer, but late in games, you know, I'm not trying to compare him to Dave Roberts or anything, but it'd be nice if the Phillies had somebody like that, you know, to get a base runner on with a walk or a single, you know, Derek Hall comes up and he gets on base and you have a guy that can steal a base and get into scoring position. I'd have to look further into his stolen base stats, see where he's at with that, but reading up to see that he has speed, the Phillies don't have much of it on the roster, especially on the bench. That could be a plus for them for sure in the later innings.
Yeah, and he is a good base runner. I don't have his stolen base numbers in front of me either, but I did have a good conversation with Paco Figueroa yesterday, who's the Phillies base running coach and first base coach, obviously. And we were talking this wasn't about Edmundo in particular, just about base running in general. And he said, just give me a guy with some smarts out on the base paths and I can make them a base stealer. Because it's not so much, I mean, blazing speed, sure. Okay. That makes it easy, but you don't need blazing speed to be a good base dealer. You need opportunity. You need the good information and you need a guy who understands what he's trying to do. And I think Sosa would probably fall into that category. So I think you will see them utilize him as a base runner as well.
I guess you would say that he has premier speed, kind of like our friends at Premier Window Cleaning, the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Over 30 years experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. Coming up in our second segment, we're going to talk about probably one of the hottest hitters in Major League Baseball, Alec Bohm. Love hearing that. And we're going to get into a little bit about the rift between Jim Salisbury and Nick Castellanos, because we haven't talked about that yet. Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back right after this.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
1, 2, 3, up. My baby don't mess around me. She loves me so, and that's my no-fun show.
Welcome back. Second segment here. Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We are spanning across the whole state from Philadelphia, PA to the Yinzers in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. On 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, this is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Welcome back for the second segment. And this second segment is brought to you by our good friends at the Ludlam Bar and Grill, which we had a blast there last Saturday. Bud Light Baseball Brunch was on from noon to one last Saturday, and then Green Legion Radio right after that. What a turnout. We had a lot of people down there, a lot of friends, a lot of family. You know, they're going to be upgrading the facilities, it looks like, over the next year. But still, get down there to Seattle City and check our friends out over there at the Ludlam Bar and Grill, 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, it is the old La Casa, and I will vouch for this. The La Casa lemonade was delicious. Please, it is out now. It was,
I didn't get a chance to sample it because I had to come up and do the Phils game, but I plan on going back down to sample it at some point. That was a beautiful place. That was a lot of fun. If you haven't been down there, get down there. And if you see me, buy me a lemonade. That would be all right. Pass the lemonade.
You know,
the good kind, not the other kind.
It was funny because we had, so we did the show down there, and I was out there. I was out in the sun, and I know we were kind of covered, but man, it is hot. If you stood up and that fence line was there, you can get a little bit of a breeze. But other than that, there was nothing. It was very warm. And my wife texted me because her friend that was supposed to go to with the Phillies game that night, she had tested positive for COVID that morning. And she's like, I can't find anybody to go with me. Can you go? And I was like, I got to go all the way back. I got to pick now the Hall of Fame club tickets. Yeah. All right. But everybody was in the air conditioning. Everybody was inside. And I was
it was a warm night.
Yeah. So I was just like, all right, let's just sit in the seats. So I was right there with you. Yes. I was pulling double duty that day as far as dealing with the heat. I did nothing last Sunday. Nothing at all.
Good for you.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah, lounge around, kick my feet up for sure. Hey, so I know we kind of touched on it in the first segment, Murph, but just real quick, I know tomorrow Bryce Harper is supposed to meet with the doctors. We're hopeful that the pins are going to be removed from his thumb. Now, I know they still haven't set a timetable here, but I mean, how soon can he get back to baseball activities once the pins are removed from his thumb?
Yeah, you know, pure speculation on my point, because we have not been given any real information, because I don't think it's available quite yet on the timetable for Bryce. But if the pins get removed tomorrow, I would bet somewhere between 3 and 4 weeks is probably, you know, I think 3 weeks would probably be best case scenario. But I think 4 weeks is also a reasonable expectation. You know, again, we'll probably know a little bit more tomorrow. We'll get a little bit more information on that. But, that would be my bet.
Who's chucking the deuces up right
there? Eric Kratz and Scott Kalinske joined the broadcast. Oh boy.
Hey, what's up guys? Hold on, Murph froze up a little bit there. Did we lose him? Oh, I see Eric. The bald head. Okay. All right. I don't know what's going on with Murph right now, but he did freeze up a little bit there. So yeah, let's go ahead. Let's talk a little bit about Alec Bohm and how, like, hold on, Murph, are you back? Hold on. He's frozen right now. Like, yes, he's frozen in laughter for sure. We're still getting Murph on the Pirates feed. We're seeing PNC Park right now, but we're not getting Murph as far as like him. If he would just turn his iPad around, we could probably get him. Oh, hold on. He's there. Murph, are you back? No, he is not. Hold on. Murph.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we got you. You are now on frozen, and you're refrozen. This is live radio. Fantastic live radio for sure. Oh, gosh. And the thing is, Slash doesn't even have a mic to be able to talk to me and join me with this. Yeah, just in case. But I can't tell if that's Murph got with the freezer. So, you know, I know Murph really doesn't want to talk about this, so let's kind of just give him a second. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right.
Go ahead. I can hear you. I'll chime in when I hear you.
Okay. All right. There he is. He's back. All right. I appreciate Scott and Eric jumping in there and seeing Eric's bald head on the screen for sure. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about Alec Bohm, Murph. Absolute terror. Happy to see what he's done. The young kids, for as much as we've belittled and we've said so many bad things about the Phillies minor league system. And listen, it's not putting out franchise cornerstone players. I mean, you know, like, it's putting out guys that are coming up and contributing. It's not like we're seeing Chase Utley's and Jimmy Rollins and Ryan Howard's come up and you really take the reins of the franchise. But Alec Bohm has, I think yesterday was the second time all month of July where he went hitless. And Bryson Stott has come up big, especially over the last week. He had that huge hit in the eighth inning against AJ Minner to win the game for the Phillies. And then We were talking a little bit in the first segment with Sir Anthony Dominguez and the contributions that he's made towards the back end of the bullpen. The kids have come to play, and Alec Bohm really has stepped up over the last month with the absence of Bryce Harper.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, and it's been good to see. And, you know, he's made a couple of pretty, as he put it, simple adjustments that has allowed him to, you know, really have this resurgence offensively. I mean, he was always a guy that they thought was going to hit in the big leagues, and then he certainly struggled at times, but he's swinging a hot bat right now. He certainly looks confident. He's batting .408 in the month of July, and if he would finish above .400 with one day to play, you think that he's got a pretty good chance of doing that. He'll be the first Phillies player to hit above .400 in a month since Carlos Ruiz did it back in 2012. Chooch. Yeah, so Chooch, the last one to do it, and he's second with it. His average is second in the month of July in all of Major League Baseball right now at .408. So yeah, it's been fun to watch. He's come up with a bunch of multiple hit games, which obviously, if you're going to bat .400, you're gonna have a couple of those, but I think he's playing with a great deal of confidence right now, and that's a good way to be playing baseball. You know, it's hard to play if you're questioning yourself every time you step into the batter's box. He's certainly not doing that right now, and you know, who knows where he can take this. The power numbers aren't there, right? He's not actually, you know, he's not swinging for the fences at this point, but I think that'll come as well over, you know, the next couple of years in his career. So a positive stroke for sure. It's been fun to watch, and hopefully he can keep it up.
I know when Reese first came up back in 2017, in August 2017, he said that they asked him, they're like, you know, how are you hitting so many home runs? And he's like, well, home runs happen when you're not trying to hit them. You know, like really your focus is on your swing. Your focus is on, you know, barreling the ball and putting the ball in play. And then once you start to get that part of your game, your offensive game going, that's where the power numbers start to come in. And I know we had talked about this right before the All-Star break, like our biggest surprises, our biggest disappointments. And I said that, you know, with Alec Bohm and defensively and offensively, was my biggest surprise. And my biggest disappointment though was the fact that the lack of power numbers from him. If he's just getting on base, and when Gene comes back and Bryce comes back and this lineup lengthens itself and he's getting on base, at whether he's batting at the top of the order and he's getting on in front of Bryce and Reese, and you know, if Schwarber drops down and when Castellanos hopefully finally gets himself going, or he's at the bottom of the order and then if Schwarber is still in the leadoff hole and then Reese is behind him, he's going to have guys that can drive him in. The key is getting on base and putting yourself in those positions.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that's how this lineup was constructed. That's how this lineup was put together. And I remember, you know, back in spring training, having the conversations with people, and looking at the lineup and saying, you know what? Alec Bohm is a big part of what they're trying to do. He needs to be good, and he's good now. I mean, he's really swinging the bat well now, and you see what that does for this lineup. And to your point, when they do get those two guys back and healthy, you know, this lineup is going to once again, look like that special, you know, 1-9 that we saw, early in the season. So, you know, look, baseball it's the toughest game. Hitting a baseball is the toughest thing to do in all of sports. Being consistent with it and taking it through an entire season is nearly impossible. There are always going to be ups and downs, but right now he is certainly up, and you just hope that he can keep it going for as long as possible.
I know we kind of talked about this as we headed into break and while we were on break, and I just want to get your quick opinion on it, because I know you said, you know, you expressed your opinion, but I want you to put it on air. The main event of WrestleMania 40 at Lincoln Financial Field, Jim Salisbury versus Nick Castellanos.
Yes.
That rift happened after our show last Saturday night. I know you've told the story before about how at one point you and Papelbon, who's trying to become now a social media cohort, but what's your thought on this? I want everybody to know what you think of it.
Here's my take on all of this. The only two people who did not think, apparently the only two people who did not think that was a big deal were Nick Castellanos and Jim Salisbury. Because that kind of thing happens all the time. It happens in baseball clubhouses. It happens in football locker rooms. It happens in hockey dressing rooms. It happens everywhere all the time. And unless someone captures it on social media and puts it out there, nobody knows. And it gets worked through 24 hours later. It is, if you're in our business, you've seen that happen 100 times. And for me, when I watched it, no big deal. You know, I knew that Nick and Jim would come together the next day and be like, all right, you know, all right. Yeah. And then it's over. So to me, it's one of those stories that becomes a story because someone wants it to be a story.
Right.
And I thought that, Jim and Nick both handled it, perfectly after the fact. So, you know, if you want to make a big deal about it, go
not
for
at
it,
all.
But it's not.
Not
yeah,
at all.
No, I'm not saying you.
Yeah.
I mean, people in general. If you want to make that, that's fine. But when I tell you it's not a big deal, it's really not.
And that's why I wanted to ask you about it, because you're there. You're with the team. You're in the locker room or the clubhouse with the guys. Like, it's something that we didn't know what had happened the next day with Jim and Nick and how things transpired between the two of them the next day, because we didn't see it. And obviously, nor should it be seen.
Of course, never see that part.
Yeah, right?
That's the point.
But that's why I want to ask you about it, because you would know best. And that allows people to understand what did happen after the fact. And I like hearing that too. And another quick tidbit, man, I loved it. Friday night. Listen, Odubel Herrera was not going to score on that ball. Okay. If you watch the play, he was not going to score. He would have been around third if he didn't slow up as the second baseman was getting the ball on the relay. He would have been a dead duck at home plate. I understand why Rob Thompson gave him the business though, because if he would have fumbled the relay and he was still going full steam, he would have easily scored in that play and we wouldn't have had to put it into Rhys Hoskins' hand. But yep. I will say that I love the fact, and I know Rob Thompson wasn't relying on the cameras to catch that, but I love seeing it. At least expressing yourself when he's coming into the dugout. This is how we're going to play. Why did you stop running, especially with two outs? I appreciate that from my manager.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. I'll stop short. You know, I read a couple of accounts.
And it's not just because it's Odubel. It's not just because it's Odubel. If that was anybody else, I still would love to see it.
And if it was anybody else, Rob would have had the same conversation with him. I thought, you know, I read a couple of accounts first that he aired him out, or as you just used the words, gave him the business. I mean, it didn't look to me like it was a heated discussion. It looked more like it was just a, hey man, you know, but what Rob said in the post-game press conference was just perfectly put. He said, I don't know if he would have scored if he was busting it around second into third, but I know he had no chance to score if he's not. And that's what I wanted him to know. And And that's it, you know, right? I mean, it's that simple. If you give us the chance to score you, we'll try and score you, but you have to give us the chance. And that's the case for every base runner and in every situation. And Rob just wanted to reiterate that. And I think it's fantastic, that there was that immediate accountability. And, that's what Rob does so well. He communicates with these guys and, they respect it. Odubel respected that. And, you know, hopefully he learns from it because, that's what it's all about. So.
PNC Park in Pittsburgh. It's a nice five and a half hour drive away from Philadelphia. If you've never been, I don't know what you're waiting for. It is, in my opinion, and I know Murph, you said this before when I asked you on last year's, on one of the last year's shows, you said your favorite ballpark is in San Francisco. Yeah. And I've been there. I haven't seen a game there, but I took a tour and I was out in McCovey Cove and it is beautiful. It's spectacular. But out of the modern day ballparks that I've been to, and I've been to 18 total active ballparks. I've been to 21 total, three defunct ballparks. This ballpark is my favorite modern day one. It's right on the Allegheny River. It has a Roberto Clemente Bridge right outside of center field where you can walk to and from the game. They've built up that area between there and now Ashesure Stadium, not Heinz Field. But right there along the Allegheny, it's just a lot of stuff, a lot of restaurants and bars that you can go to. Downtown isn't, you know, a late night, you know, type of downtown, but Pittsburgh is a great city. It's an underrated city, and that ballpark, to me, like, my bachelor party was ran there. I ran my best friend's bachelor party there. Phenomenal ballpark, Murph. I know it's one of your favorites as well.
Yeah, it's actually number two behind San Francisco on my list in terms of just beautiful ballparks. You know, you talk about you're getting a chance to see the view right here. I got up on my iPad, and it's, you know, this is the view from the radio booth. We're pretty high here at PNC Park, but it really does give you, it affords you this great look at downtown Pittsburgh and the bridges and all of that. I have to look this up because I've been asked this so many times and I've made this comment a couple of times. I think I am almost positive the same architectural company built both San Francisco and Pittsburgh. They are so similar in the way they are laid out that I would find it hard to believe that it wasn't the same.
Because it's right on the water.
I don't know that for sure.
It's right on the water,
yeah,
too. Well,
I'm talking about the entire ballpark, the way you get to the clubhouse, the way you get to the dugout, the way their diamond club, I don't know what it's called, but, you know, that is all laid out. It's almost identical to San Francisco in the way it's built. And yeah, they both have the backdrops against the water. So, but yeah, for Philadelphia, Phillies fans, it's an easy trip, right? You know, it's a 5 hour drive straight out, straight west, and you can get here, and the city itself is awesome as well. So if you're looking to go out and see the Phils on the road, you know, take a look at next year's schedule and book your room because there are a lot of Phillies fans here. I would say, I wouldn't be surprised if there's 7,000 to 10,000 Phillies fans here, this weekend enjoying the Phils and the Pirates. So, it's definitely a destination for Phillies fans.
And we normally don't play well out there. So for those of you that did make the trip this weekend, congratulations.
Thank you.
This is
rare.
but speaking of, you know, booking a road trip and going on the road, I mean, you want to do it with the Green Legion, right? I mean, there's nobody better.
Sure.
20 years in business, greenlegion.com. Call the office at 215-666-5940. Get yourself on tap with us this season because it's going to be a blast. Everybody is expecting the Eagles to be good this year. And when the Eagles are good, that's when the trips are even better. Chicago, Arizona, Indianapolis, Houston, the bus trip to DC, and the bus trip up to the swamp in New York. It's going to be a lot of fun this upcoming season. Make sure you sign up with us and join us on the road in 2022 because no longer restrictions for COVID. So listen, you want to hop back in. This is the time to do it. GreenLegion.com, 215-666-5940. We have our picks coming up in the last segment, as well as Can You Believe It's right here, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Gambler, presented by Cure Auto Insurance.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know what it is. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Yeah, uh-huh. You know what it is. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. And I can't believe Slash just played that dumb song in honor of Pittsburgh in the black and yellow. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. Some people are angry with that. Like, don't you wish that your teams all had the same colors? No, I don't. I like the fact that they're all different colors. I like the fact that, like, my Flyers can't mesh with my Phillies stuff, and that my Eagles stuff can't mesh with my Flyers stuff. Like, and who cares about the Sixers? Except for Diaz.
Okay. All right. All good. I agree. I like the different teams with the different colors. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I hate the Penguins. And this surprises a lot of people. I hate the Steelers more than any other team in football that is not named the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are one, the Steelers are two. And a lot of people are like, the Giants and the Patriots. Stop it, Slash. They start playing the song again. But yeah, I can't stand the Steelers. And then they're terrible towels. And I'm glad that giant ketchup bottle's gone now. Screw them. But we're going to give away two tickets to Dan Baker Night on Friday, August 5th, this upcoming Friday. Can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping to make a game next weekend for sure for Alumni Weekend. We have 12 to choose from.
All right.
This week. Okay. Now, Slash said one when he came back in studio during break. He said Leonardo DiCaprio and the Wolf of Broad Street.
I think that's a good one. The Wolf of Wall Street.
Did I say Broad Street?
Almost.
I did.
That's fine.
Sorry.
That almost.
That's Sean Couturier.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
That's Sean Couturier. He's the Wolf of Broad Street.
but yeah, I think that's a good one. I'm not surprised to hear that one. I asked Eric Kratz in the break what he thought of that, and he said, Mark Ruffalo playing Bruce Banner in the Marvel Hulk movies. Again, I haven't seen those, but that was his. He weighed in on that. Have you seen those guys? Have you seen that movie?
I've seen him. Listen, I love the Avenger movies, but I really haven't watched anything outside of that. I've watched all three Iron Mans. I've watched a couple Captain America ones, but like I don't really dive in. Like, oh, go watch the Thor movies. Like, no, I like them when they're all together. All right. And Mark Ruffalo is a really good. An Incredible Hulk, and I like him as part of the Avenger movies, but.
Okay. So there you have it. So. Here we'll take go. Eric's word. Yeah. I'm sure he was good.
I will. I appreciate his bald head popping up on the feed here.
That's right.
Along with Scott Fransky. You know, great guys. Appreciate them for sure. All right. So let's go ahead. 12 is what we have this week. Black Panther.
All right.
Ron Burgundy from Anchorman. Mm-hmm. John Wick. Gandalf, Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
This will have no shot to win. Hagrid, Harry Potter, no thanks. Captain Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's a good one.
Yeah. McGlovin, Superbad. Buddy Hobbs in Elf, that also has no chance to win. Tony Stark in Iron Man. Woods, Legally Blonde. You have a shot because Reese Witherspoon's hot. Alonzo from Training Day. And Hans Landa, I don't know, Inglourious Bastards.
Okay. All right. Well, I will tell you that one of those is in my top five, and it actually is my number one. So I already know who I'm.
All right. We'll start from five.
What do you got? Well, so number five probably would be, I put him on the list because it is an iconic character, and it now is able to be included on this list because of the remake, Maverick. So Tom Cruise as Maverick in Top Gun, obviously before 2000, but the remake, same character. And I think in terms of movie characters in the last 22 years, that's a pretty good one. So I put him in at number five. Russell Crowe, Gladiator, Maximus, tremendous, right? I mean, tremendous character. Yeah. That was the year 2000. Eric's questioning whether or not that would be on the list, but it is indeed on the list. So Russell Crowe, I already mentioned Heath Ledger in as the Joker in Batman. I think that's a tremendous one as well.
We got that a lot on the board with Heath Ledger. Sam's like, already said.
All right. Steve Carell. So I have two comedies now. Steve Carell in 40-Year-Old Virgin. Tremendous character.
Right? Kelly Clarkson. I mean,
yeah. So good. But. Number one on my list, and this was the one that someone else mentioned, so it gets my vote, Ron Burgundy. I mean, you talk about a classic character, Anchorman. The way he played that, it's just
Bing, bang,
it
boom.
Was so unique. So I'm going with Ron Burgundy in Anchorman as number one.
I'm going to agree with you. We don't need to go to a tiebreaker this week.
Wow.
Ron Burgundy, go F yourself, San Diego. It's just like everything about that movie, like the counting to it, what was it, 1,000 when he was doing, I just did 1,000. You know, I didn't know if you heard me, but, but it, yeah,
so good.
Absolute gold. Congratulations to whoever selected Ron Burgundy and Anchorman.
The pleat in the pants.
So I know Sam will pop that up for me and let us know who the winner is once she goes ahead and she finds it.
Awesome.
So let's go ahead. Let's into our picks for this week. Murph, you had an extra pick last week. So you owed me one for the rain out from a couple weeks ago. So you went 2-2 last week, 2 points. So your overall record now is 17-22 and you have 22 points on the season. I'm on a hot streak now. All right. 2-1 week yet again. 3 points because I hit my underdog Padres against the Mets. You picked the Mets yet again. I don't understand it. You pick them to win a division. You pick them to win a game. I'm starting to question your fanhood here, Murph. I'm 20-19 on the season with 27 points.
Yeah, you know, I gotta stop. I gotta give them way too much credit. And,
I'm gonna have to put you in rehab.
They're not getting any credit this week from me. So,
good call.
I'm going away from those New York Mets. All right, so my first pick this week, I'm looking at the Blue Jays and the Tigers. I think it's the early game today.
It's the Peacock Channel.
Yeah. So it's Barrios and Hill. Neither guy has really been lights out in this one. So the over-under in this one is 9, and I'm going to take the over. Take over 9, Blue Jays and Tigers. Hopefully the Toronto scores some runs for me and gets over that 9.
All right, I'm going to stick with Pittsburgh today. I'm going to take the Phillies -180. Okay. Aaron Nola on the hill against JT Brubaker. Nola had a rough start against Atlanta his last time out, which was his first time after the All-Star break. He's going to rebound nicely today, and the Phillies offense is going to be a little bit better than it has been the last couple days. I'm taking the Phillies -180. That's my favorite.
Okay, and I love that pick, obviously, and now I have to root for you as well, which I don't
like. I'm pigeonholing you. I'm putting you in the corner.
Yeah, it's all right. It's a good pick. All right, Orioles and Reds getting together today. The Orioles, for some reason, are underdogs in this. I don't think the Reds should be favored against anybody at any point. The Orioles have been playing some pretty good baseball of late, so I'm going to take the Orioles at +105 as my underdog, and I think they beat the Reds today, so hopefully they get me a couple of points.
Okay, my underdog today, I don't understand, it's kind of like what you're saying, I don't believe the Angels should be favorites unless Otani is pitching over anybody. I'm taking the Rangers in Anaheim at +100, no real reason for it other than the Angels stink. Your last pick.
Yeah, all right. That's pretty good logic, if you ask me. All right, Astros and Mariners getting together. I think that was it's a four-game series. The Astros won the first two. Mariners won last night.
In the ninth inning, too.
The Astros, yeah. I think the Astros bounce back and win the final game of the series. They're the favorites at -140. So give me the Astros over the Mariners as my favorite this week.
Congratulations to Steve Whitaker, by the way, who won the tickets for Friday night's game. Congratulations. My last pick is under 11. I'm going under 11, Dodgers-Rockies at Coors Field. Tony Gonsolin versus Marquez. They went over on Thursday solely because the Dodgers scored 13 runs on their own, and they were under the last two nights. I know this is an unlikely trend, but I'm going to stick with it because Gonsolin's on the mound for the Dodgers. I'm going under 11 at Coors Field. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Two things that we found interesting over the last week in Major League Baseball. Murph, give me your first one.
All right. Mookie Betts just continues to do, Mookie Betts kind of things. Most games with at least one home run and one outfield assist since 2015. Hunter Renfro, believe it or not, top of the list. He has 12. And then Mookie Betts and George Springer both with 11 of those types of games, guys that do it offensively, do it defensively, just great players. Mookie Betts, and you got to believe that he'll have a couple more of those before it's all said and done. So that's my first line.
I feel like we haven't been talking about how special of a season Aaron Judge is having. I know we've talked a lot at nauseam about how special Shohei Ohtani is. But hands down for me, the MVP in the American League right now because of the success of the team is Aaron Judge for the New York Yankees. And I've upgraded these stats since originally I saw them. This season, he has 42 home runs on the season. His teammate, Joey Gallo, 37 hits.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It's pretty bad.
Can you believe that? Yeah. Yeah, that's not so good. But, you talk about a guy who's been carrying his team. That offense is pretty darn good top to bottom. Yeah. But, you know, put him in the middle and it looks special. You know what? I'll stay with Aaron Judge then for my second.
Judge love. I like it.
Yeah, you know, and deservedly so, as you mentioned, 42 home runs. Here we sit on July 31st, and he is now the all-time leader in home runs before August 1st in Yankees history, passing two guys you may have heard of, Babe Ruth and Roger Maris. I think Babe Ruth hit 41 in 1928, and Roger Maris in 1961, of course, had 40 before the August 1st day, 42 now for Aaron Judge, and he's got one more game to play. So the likelihood of him adding to it is probably 50-50. So, yeah, just a remarkable season. Who knows where he ends up when it's all said and done? Somewhere pretty close to that 60 home run mark, I would bet.
The Great Bambino? I thought you said the Great Bambi. Yeah, you know, little Sandlot reference there. The last four Phillies extra inning home runs in Pittsburgh. This is courtesy of Jason Stark. Mike Schmidt in the 12th in 1986, July 1st, 1986. Okay. Ryan Howard in the 10th in August 26th, 2009. Reese Hoskins in the 11th, July 21st, 2019. And then in the 10th on Friday night, Reese Hoskins yet again. The last four times. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah.
Very cool.
So this upcoming week, let's break out the brooms today against Pittsburgh. And then we have a day off in Atlanta. They're going to fly out. They're going to spend the day in Atlanta and then two game set against the Braves and then four on alumni weekend next weekend against the Nationals. Listen, this between the Pirates and the Nationals, these are games that we continue to need to win and separate ourselves from the Cardinals, but also let's start making up some more ground and let's take over that second wild card spot. Let's not leave anything to chance. Let's jump the Padres as well.
Yeah, I certainly think that's the plan. And hey, don't count yourself out from catching those Atlanta Braves and or New York Mets as well. First things first, you got the Padres right there in front of you. Maybe you put some separation between yourself and the Cardinals over the next couple of days and can start tracking down those Padres. That I agree with you. Don't leave anything for chance. Don't leave anything. Make it simple in September. There's nothing wrong with that. And hopefully that's exactly what this Phils team will do. But first things first, yeah, go for the four-game sweep here in Pittsburgh today.
All right. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in to us again on this beautiful Sunday morning in the Delaware Valley. For Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy / Super Sam Brady, Scott Fransky, and Eric Kratz's bald head, I'm Chris Sack. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Let's break out the brooms, fighting Phils.